it's almost certain that we won't be able to get through life without experiencing an illness of sorts, ranging from the mild everyday garden variety, such as the common cold or seasonal bout of hay fever, to the more serious type that can land you in hospital or threaten your life. One of the most unsettling things about illness is that you never know what or when it will strike and how serious of an illness you may develop. There are illnesses that we can somewhat expect and prepare for, and there are those that we never imagine we could experience. But although that fear of the unknown remains somewhere at the back of our mind, we find ways to help us balance out those fears with positive thoughts about taking things as they come and seeking comfort in the knowledge that there are effective treatments for most known illnesses nowadays. Another level of comfort is found in knowing as much about illnesses and diseases as possible, as to weigh up our risks and know what kind of signs we should look out for in the event that we are struck down. And perhaps that's why we often find ourselves resorting to Dr. Google for answers on circulating illnesses or some other disease we just heard about. Because in knowledge, we seem to find comfort. In acknowledging the fact that medicine has become quite advanced, we still need to accept the fact that no one is completely immune to becoming ill, nor does anyone have, or is likely to ever have, the ability to predict when or what kind of illness they may develop at any point in their life. And so, with the likely possibility that anyone can get sick with anything at any time, knowledge remains our best ally when it comes to dealing with an unwelcome encounter with illness. With that said, and for that reason, I've invited the Director of Communicable Diseases at New South Wales Health, Dr. Vicky Shepherd, to fill in the blanks and answer some of the questions you may have wondered about where measles is concerned. If that sounds like you, stay tuned for professional insights and expert advice. Breaking down measles for us today is Dr. Vicky Shepherd, the Director of Communicable Diseases at New South Wales Health, and tell us what we can do as to avoid becoming the next measles statistic. Vicky, good afternoon and thank you for speaking to us.
Oh, you're welcome, Ola.
Now, one of the illnesses that we periodically hear about doing the rounds is measles. And today, Vicky, I've invited you on board to help us understand the nature of this disease and our risk of infection. Let's start off by establishing some basic background knowledge about measles and firstly find out what causes measles and how is it passed on from person to person.
Sure. Well, measles is a viral infection, and it is the most infectious disease that we know of. It passes very readily from person to person, and in fact, you can pick up the infection from breathing in the same air as an infected person, even after they've left a room.
So is measles considered a life-threatening condition?
Well, it is a very serious viral infection, and as recently as the year 2000, there were about 500,000 deaths per year in the world from measles. Unfortunately, it does affect mainly very young children and people in developing countries. And in Australia, we're lucky with our health status and our health system that deaths are very rare, but nevertheless, it is a very serious infection.
Okay. Now, Vicky, just as we notice that illnesses like the flu occur at certain times of the year, we sometimes notice that the incidence of measles is more prevalent at certain times over others. Is the measles virus influenced by seasons or environmental factors?
Back in the first half of the 20th century, when measles was common in Australia, there was a seasonality to measles. But what we see now is we get cases related to travel, and I guess we'll talk about that more later. Mm-hmm. So we mainly see cases around this New Year travelling period, where we get a lot more people bringing the infection into Australia.
All right. Now, let us talk a little about risk factors. What range of factors can place us at an increased risk of contracting the measles virus? And are there any particular individuals who are either at a greater risk of infection or more likely to suffer complications as a result?
Yeah, so basically anyone who's not had the infection before or hasn't been vaccinated is susceptible. So infants are not vaccinated till they turn 12 months of age. Okay. In their very early months of life, their mothers could have passed immunity to them, so they, in the first few months, they're probably protected. But by the time they're about 4 or 5 months of age, until they're vaccinated at 12 months of age, they're highly susceptible. Mm-hmm. The next group we know is susceptible to measles is many people born in the late 60s, the 1970s, 1980s, even the 1990s, who often inadvertently missed one or two doses of vaccine, and that's not their fault. It's that we didn't have such a rigorous vaccination system at the time, and the program changed, so it was quite easy in those decades to miss a dose without knowing it.
Okay.
And the third group of people who are susceptible to measles are those who've lost their immunity due to cancer or some other strong medication that impairs their immune system, and if they get exposed to measles, they can get very severe disease.
All right. Now, with risk factors identified, can you tell us what range of symptoms may be experienced by someone who has been infected by measles, and how soon after infection symptoms can start to appear?
Yeah, so measles usually starts about 10 days after you're exposed to it, but it can be as short as 7 or as long as about 3 weeks. And it starts with a fever, usually a runny nose, mm-hmm. a cough, sore red eyes, and after 3 to 4 days of those symptoms, the rash then starts, and it's a blotchy red rash, mm-hmm. and it typically starts on the face and then gradually spreads to the rest of the body.
Mm. Is that rash itchy at all?
No, it's not itchy, and the key thing is that you usually will have a high fever when the rash starts, mm-hmm. and feel really miserable.
Oh, wow. Well, being a communicable disease, measles can be passed on from person to person. The question is, can a person with measles pass on the virus before they start exhibiting symptoms?
Yes, unfortunately, probably about 24 hours before symptoms start, people can spread the virus. So that's one of the factors that makes it difficult to control.
Okay, now what course of action should be taken by someone who has potentially been in contact with an affected person or suspects they may have measles?
So when we do get notified about measles cases, our public health units try to identify people who were exposed and, if possible, contact them and find out if they're susceptible. And if they can be contacted within a few days of being exposed, the vaccine can be used to prevent measles developing. But of course, in cases like airports and shopping centres, it's not possible to contact people directly, and often we don't find out about it until too long has passed to offer the vaccine. Mm-hmm. So in those cases, it's a matter of people being aware that they're exposed, aware that they may be susceptible, and to look out for the symptoms. And if they do start to develop symptoms, to try and isolate themselves,
okay.
particularly from those susceptible groups, particularly babies and pregnant women. Mm. And then if they're going to the doctor, to call ahead so that they're not left in the waiting room with other people. They can be given a mask and put into a separate room to reduce the risk to other people at the doctor's practice.
All right. Now, with some symptoms of measles overlapping with those of other conditions, how can a case of measles be confirmed or ruled out?
Well, that's right. So once we suspect it, because we know someone's susceptible and we think they've been exposed, mm-hmm. then it's important to do a test to find out if it is measles. And the most accurate test is a swab test of the throat. And also we often like to collect a urine sample.
Mm-hmm.
And both those samples can go and be tested to see if the virus is in there.
Okay, and so once that diagnosis is made, then all effort should be made for that person to isolate themselves from other people.
Exactly. We'd ask them to then be isolated until 4 days after their rash started, and once that period has passed, then they're no longer infectious to others.
Mm. That's going to be a bit hard living in a household with other members of the family.
Yes, that's certainly the case. So if there are other household members that are susceptible, there's other preventive treatment that can be offered, or unfortunately sometimes it's even too late to do that, and we need to then look out for symptoms in other family members if it's often too late to give preventive treatment. That's particularly important to stop the spread further in the community.
Mm. Now, does measles require treatment, or does it resolve itself, and how long does it usually take to recover?
Measles does resolve itself. There's no specific treatment, but it's quite common that people do need to be put in hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the accompanying symptoms, such as diarrhea or pneumonia, which often complicate measles,
okay,
may need to have intravenous fluids used, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So we can, in our hospital system, certainly support people if that's needed. But many people, and particularly school-age children, are able to be just managed at home and making sure they keep up their fluids.
All right. Now, as you explained earlier, there is a delay between infection and the appearance of symptoms. Does this delay have any influence on the rate and way in which the virus spreads?
Well, yes. The delay between exposure and developing symptoms is about the virus being in the body and taking some time to grow up into sufficient numbers to make you sick.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it reaches a kind of a critical mass, then it starts to be able to then spread to others, and also it makes you develop those symptoms that are typical of measles.
Mm. Now, measles is often thought to be a childhood illness. Can adults contract measles too?
Oh, absolutely. So when measles was common in the first half of the 20th century,
mm-hmm,
most people would have already caught it as a child. And unfortunately, as I said before, it did cause severe disease. Some children died, others had complications that stay with them for their whole life.
Mm.
Now that children are not routinely infected, adults who haven't been properly vaccinated are susceptible and probably form about 2/3 of the cases that we see now in New South Wales.
Oh, wow. Now, another question that many people may be curious about is, can a person contract measles even if they've been infected before?
No. Measles infection and effective vaccination both provide lifelong immunity. But I guess the trick there is someone might have been told they had measles,
mm-hmm,
but if they didn't have a test to confirm it, then, you know, there's a chance that they actually didn't have measles and are still susceptible if they're not vaccinated.
All right. Now, what role does immunity and vaccination play in preventing measles infection on both an individual and community level?
Well, vaccination has been crucial to controlling measles worldwide. So, as I said before, as recently as the year 2000, there were 500,000 deaths per year from measles.
Mm-hmm.
And the international health community put in a tremendous effort to increase vaccination rates. And in 2016, the deaths were fewer than 100,000, still a large number. But vaccination programs had a fantastic effect on reducing measles. And here in Australia, through vaccination programs, we've eliminated measles, so we no longer have it circulating. But that doesn't mean that we still can't get cases introduced. But at least when they are introduced, we can usually control the spread fairly rapidly.
All right. Now, what should a person do if they want to safeguard themselves but can't remember whether or not they've been vaccinated in the past?
Mm. Well, yes, many people, those born in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, won't have a record of vaccination. Fortunately, in 1996, the Australian Immunisation Register started, so people born after that can probably get a good documented history of their vaccination, but people born before then, it is hard.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have it written down, and sometimes mums wrote down things on cards and kept them, but
yeah,
if you don't have that available, what we say is that it's quite safe to have another dose.
Okay.
And in New South Wales, we offer that dose for free,
mm-hmm,
for anyone born during or after 1966, and it's just available from general practitioners.
All right.
Now, would getting a measles vaccination after being in contact with an infected person still offer protection against the development of the disease?
Yeah, if it's given within 3 days, that's highly effective prevention. We urge anyone who's born during or after 1966 to check their measles vaccination records, and if they don't have records of 2 doses, they should go to their GP and ask for a free dose, particularly prior to overseas travel. And then obviously for children, the first dose is given at 12 months. We encourage parents to vaccinate their children on time at 12 months and the second dose at 18 months of age. Mm-hmm. And we have a free app, Save the Date to Vaccinate, that helps parents keep track of when their children's vaccines are due.
Oh, fantastic. And where can people find out more about measles?
On our New South Wales Health website, we've got a measles alerts page that links straight off the front page. And also on our immunisation pages, there's information about the vaccines.
All right. Now, Vicky, arriving at the end of this fact-filled discussion, I'd like to thank you for your time and contribution to the program today. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Oh, thank you, Ola. You're very welcome.
We just received a bit of a crash course on measles from Dr. Vicky Shepherd, who answered some of the commonly asked questions about this disease, considering the serious nature of this illness. And for anyone who missed that discussion, here's a quick recap of Dr. Shepherd's advice to really drive home the message. Measles is a serious disease that is easily spread through the air, but immunisation is an effective method of preventing the disease. Although commonly thought to be a childhood illness, measles can affect both children and adults. So, what is measles? Although it's unlikely that there's anyone who hasn't heard of measles before, it is likely that there are people who don't know what exactly causes measles. Now, measles is a viral disease that may have serious complications. In the past, measles infection was very common in childhood. Fortunately, measles is now rare in New South Wales and Australia because of good immunisation practices, but many areas of the world continue to experience outbreaks of this disease. According to statistics, in 2008, there were 164,000 deaths worldwide due to the measles virus. What symptoms can a person with measles experience? Now, the first symptoms are fever, tiredness, cough, runny nose, sore red eyes, and feeling generally unwell. A few days later, a rash appears. This rash starts on the face, spreads down to the body, and lasts for between 4 to 7 days. Unlike most rashes, the rash caused by measles is not itchy. It's also estimated that up to a third of people with measles have complications. These include ear infections, diarrhea, pneumonia, and may require hospitalisation. About 1 in every 1,000 people with measles develops encephalitis, a potentially life-threatening condition causing swelling of the brain. Thank you. lot do we know about how measles spreads. Much like the flu, measles is usually spread when a person breathes in the measles virus that has been coughed or sneezed into the air by an infectious person. Measles is one of the most easily spread of all human infections. In fact, being in the same room as someone with measles can result in an infection. People with measles are usually infectious from just before the symptoms begin until 4 days after the rash appears. The time from exposure to becoming sick is usually about 10 days. The rash usually appears around 14 days after exposure to the virus. At risk of contracting measles. Measles was common before 1966, so most people born before then are immune because they have developed natural immunity as a result of having been infected with the virus. People at risk of measles include people born during or since 1966 who have never had measles and who have not had two doses of measles-containing vaccine from the age of 12 months. There are also the people with a weak immune system, such as the people who are receiving chemotherapy or radiotherapy for cancer, or people who take high-dose steroid medications. People in this category may still contract measles, even if they have been fully immunised or have had a measles infection in the past. People who are not immune as a result of past infection or vaccination and who travel overseas are also at an increased risk. The million-dollar question, how can a measles infection be prevented? The best protection against measles is immunisation with two doses of MMR, measles, mumps and rubella vaccine. This vaccine provides protection against infection with measles as well as against mumps and rubella. MMR vaccine should be given to children at age 12 months and a second dose as MMRV, measles, mumps, rubella and varicella should be given at 18 months of age. Anyone born during or after 1966 and who has never had measles infection or measles vaccination should see their doctor to make sure that they have the two doses of measles-containing vaccine at least 4 weeks apart. And in case you're wondering, it is safe to have the vaccine more than twice, so people who are unsure on whether or not they have received measles vaccines in the past should be vaccinated as a precaution. People with measles should stay at home until they are no longer infectious. This is about 4 days after the rash starts. For people who are not immune and have come into contact with a person with measles, infection can sometimes still be prevented with measles-containing vaccine if given within 3 days of exposure or with immunoglobulin, a treatment made from blood that protects against measles when injected within 7 days of exposure. Now, given that many of the symptoms do overlap with other conditions, how can a case of measles be confirmed? Measles is suspected when a person feels unwell, has a cough, runny nose or sore eyes, and a fever followed by a rash. Whenever measles is suspected, a blood test and samples from the nose, throat and urine should be collected to confirm the diagnosis. Confirmation of the diagnosis is important as it allows prompt public health follow-up of other people who are at risk of measles, such as those who have been in contact with an infected person. But in case you've copped it, are there any treatments? People with measles infection are normally advised to rest, drink plenty of fluids, and take paracetamol to treat the fever. There is actually no specific treatment. While a person is infectious with measles, it is important that he or she remains at home to reduce the possibility of spreading the disease to other people. What is the public health response to measles usually? Now, doctors, hospitals, laboratories, schools and childcare centres must notify cases of measles to the local public health unit. Public health unit staff will interview the doctor and patient or carers of the patient to find out how the infection occurred, identify other people at risk of infection and implement control measures such as immunisation and restrictions on attending school or work and provide other advice. Just about every angle of measles covered, I believe you are all now well equipped with enough information to hopefully keep you from becoming the next measles statistic. Thanks are due to Dr. Vicky Shepherd for sharing her expert insights and advice, and to everyone who tuned in to this episode of Community Connect. I look forward to reconnecting with you on another episode of the show next week. Until then, please take care and have a wonderful evening.